Some of you may know that I am in preparation at the moment to walk the Camino de Santiago across the top of Spain, the 800 kilometres thereabouts from the Pyrenees in France to, well, I'm actually walking a bit further to the Atlantic Ocean, to a place called Finisterre, the finish of the earth, to a bit of a pilgrimage for myself and some time to reflect on how things are for me in my life and my mission. And this gospel is one that hits home very hard because it talks about what to take and what not to take. Now, all of my reading and research tells me to take a haversack, but only carry 10% of your body weight. I wished I was built like Father Tom. I know that'll get back to him. However, part of the whole process of a pilgrimage is going through the mental as well as the physical process of working out what's truly important and what's not important. So I have laid out in a spare room on two single beds, I have laid out what I think I need and what I absolutely must have. And then for somebody my weight, it allows me to carry about 7.6 kilos. Oh, well, that was until lunchtime today with the Stewart family. So I've been practicing my walk with 10 kilos up Mount Taylor with a haversack. And I've taken my stick, my staff, as we hear in Scripture. I can assure you I'm not doing it in sandals. So this gospel actually carries a lot of back thought for me because it's very grounding. When Mark put it together, it's the third of the commissioning of the disciples, or what he began to call apostles. The first one was in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel when Jesus is walking by the lake and he picks up a few stray fishermen. And then he gathers a bunch of people around himself on the side of a hill. And then he takes 12 with him, whom he calls apostles. And then today we have the third account where Jesus sends them out and he tells them how to do it. Now, Mark also uses imagery, as you're aware, to make sure that he is connecting what is happening here and now with the history of his faith, which is a Jewish faith, and what is expected of us because of the meeting of Jesus Christ. Now, that's all pilgrim stuff. That's missionary stuff as I see it. So even in my walk, there will be reflecting on the past. There will certainly be what is expected of me in the future. But I don't want to miss what's happening in the present. So I'm not going to be on the texting and the Wi-Fi and my iPad. That won't be happening. I want to leave all that stuff behind, so that I can actually stay in the present. I will be stopping and turning around regularly to make sure that I see where I've come from. Now, I think that's really important. And all the pilgrim tour groups that I've led, I always say, make sure you look around. Just don't keep walking ahead. So this gospel, once again, adds a lot of meat to my own preparation. He connects, does Mark, with his Jewish heritage by telling them to wear sandals and to take a staff, which is a direct quote from the Exodus story, where the people, the Jews under persecution in Egypt, were told to take a staff and sandals on their feet, nothing else. So what it is Mark is saying that the journey that you're beginning is taking you to the new promised land. That's where the Jews were headed, from Egypt to the promised land. And you, as disciples, are now on the mission to the new promised land. And therefore he reinforces that by using the old Jewish saying of, if they don't welcome you, then shake the dust off your feet. The reason being that the dust of those who do not accept should not be brought into the promised land. So the non-sacred, the profane, if you like, don't bring that onto this holy ground. And that's how you can give them that sign, by physically shaking the sand off or the dust off your feet. Mark also then indicates through the mission of the apostles that they healed the sick with oil, we're told, and drove out many with evil spirits in them. And that's Mark's way of colourfully telling us that the mission involves the healing of the mind and the body. So in a sense, he's talking about the whole person, the head, the heart, and the instinct, what Merton would call the gut. The head, the heart, the gut, the whole person. So us as missionary disciples, that's what we're aiming for, is to take the whole person with us and introduce the whole person of Jesus Christ to those with whom we come into contact. It's very, very scriptural and it's extremely grounding. It's not complicated, because we're actually asked to leave more behind than what we're asked to take on. And that's great pilgrim packing advice. Difficulty for us is that, like the apostles, it's going to come with challenges. And not everybody's going to accept us. Some people will call us mad. And that certainly happens. Some people will call us bad. And that certainly happens. And some people will look at Christians and say, they are sad. And that certainly happens as well. But if we take on the missionary recipe, if you like, of Pope Francis, he calls us to joy and to holiness. He even named his last exhortation, "Rejoice and be glad." The words of Matthew, "Gaudete exultate." Rejoice and be glad. And that's, I think, the recipe for us getting through the challenges that come with being a missionary disciple. And Mark then reinforces Pope Francis's words in today's gospel anyway by saying there are three ways of doing this. The first way is simplicity. And I give these to you as I give them to myself. The way to be a good missionary disciple, I think, from Scripture is make it simple. Don't clutter your life. The opposite to simplicity is clutter and chaos. So unclutter our life. So for me, it will be technology and the gadgets. I have got a watch that's got a compass in it. But the other stuff, I don't need it. It's not important. So simplicity I give to you. The second thing is that he comes from Scripture and he says, go out in pairs. We travel on this missionary expedition, this pilgrimage, dependent on each other. We're not in this on our own. Now, I know that in my journey I will be meeting people from all over the world. And I will not be alone, yet when I land I will be certainly on my own. And then I start to pair up or travel with other people that we meet along the way and we start to share our journey. That's real missionary stuff, and there's an opportunity there for evangelisation. Though I'm not carrying a billboard that said the end of the world is near. Because in my simplicity, I want silence. But you have to get the balance right. Not to escape from people. That's silly and it's unhealthy. Because the third part of the gospel that we're given today is actually to exercise hospitality, which is a wonderful, wonderful Christian virtue. That if we don't exercise hospitality, we actually become very selfish. And it's not hard to exercise hospitality. We don't have to have the best of everything and anything. We simply have to have an open heart and welcome the stranger. And I look forward to that challenge as well. And I look forward to receiving the gift of hospitality from those who I may bump into. So simplicity in life, declutter. Dependence, depend on other people. If we don't do that, it's going to lead to loneliness. And Christians aren't lonely people. And thirdly, I say again, hospitality. If we're not hospitable, we become selfish. So life is, I think for some people we kind of look for, you know, what's my mission? But I don't think that that we actually have a mission. I really think that life is a mission for us as Christians, but that's a mature thing we come to an understanding with eventually. So I want to leave you with a prayer that's used in the Missal. For those of you who use your Missals, you probably don't go always to the prayers at the very, very back, but it's in the Roman Missal, and I've borrowed Peter's tonight because I think that if you can grasp being a missionary disciple with simplicity, dependent on others, and being hospitable, at the very end of your life, if you can pray this prayer, I'm absolutely convinced your Camino passport will be stamped with your eternal reward. And this is the prayer. Receive, Lord, my entire freedom. Accept the whole of my memory, my intellect, and my will. Whatever I have or possess, it was you who gave it to me. I restore it to you in full, and I surrender it completely to the guidance of your will. Give me only love of you, together with your grace, and I am rich enough, and I ask for nothing more. Amen.